When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Back at Better Than Ever, Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance on a rainy Thursday in New York City as the stage is set for all the action of conference championship weekend. We're looking forward to those games on Sunday, and we're looking forward to Hollywood, Harbaugh, and Herbert together. Can he make them super? Let's go.
Here we go!
Only one place to start.
Jim Harbaugh will become the new coach of the L.A. Chargers.
We all knew that a change needed to be made because the Los Angeles Chargers weren't what they're supposed to be.
The fact of the matter is the Chargers give them the ability to compete for a Super Bowl.
And so the best thing that could possibly have happened to Justin Herbert has happened. Jim Harbaugh has become his head coach. Does this mean the Chargers become a Super Bowl team? Absolutely it does. Jim Harbaugh is one of the very few people who are that level of elite. And in any organization, the two most important people are the head coach and the quarterback, and the Chargers are now elite at both of them. Harbaugh will make whatever Justin Herbert is capable of becoming, however good he has it in him to be, that's how good Jim Harbaugh is going to make him. I am a huge fan of Harbaugh. I'm a huge believer in Harbaugh. Anyone who listens to this show or has ever seen or heard me is aware of that. I think this is a slam dunk home run, the best hiring of this cycle because it just made all the sense in the world.
Timeout.
Go.
You buried the lead.
What is the lead?
Not since the 1932 World Series. When Babe Ruth called his shot off of Charlie Root at Wrigley Field, has someone called a shot? More than you called this. Can you please take a bow? You get everything wrong, so you might as well take a bow in this particular case.
Well, I almost don't feel like it's fair. I'm not a reporter. I'm not an insider. I'm just a friend of Jim Harbaugh's. And what Hembo is referring to, I don't know, Nuno, what did Nuno want this morning? Nuno was calling, what happened?
Nuno, a former producer of this show, now the producer on Unsportsmanlike, texted me this morning asking the time at which you had this conversation with Jim Harbaugh at this funeral about Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
He wanted to explore when this happened.
So are you aware of this, Bubba? Are you aware of all the behind-the-scenes machinations on Greeny having correctly called Jim Harbaugh to the Chargers?
I mean, I'm aware of the funeral discussion, if that's what you mean. I don't know.
We've talked about that like
five
times. Yeah, I don't
know. You've brought it up 400 times, so I don't know. If that's what you mean, then yes.
Well,
I don't know.
What a surly answer.
I don't know what you're asking.
What machinations?
I don't know what you mean.
that Nuno this morning was on the phone, or at least on the text, with Hembo looking for dates and times and places and
I was not aware of. I don't know what Nuno
is. What is he investigating?
Yeah, I don't know what Nuno is up either.
At 6:37 in the morning, I received a text saying, "So when was that funeral that Greeny and Harbaugh spoke?" And
then Is he doubting it?
And then I send him the obituary to be able to timestamp this.
Yeah, I don't know what Nuno's up to.
Those are the machinations.
Those are the machinations to which I'm referring. I don't know why you took such umbrage at my asking you the question.
I was just confused. I didn't know what you
Are you off carbs? I mean, you seem unhappy today. And I bring that up because I accidentally went off carbs yesterday, and I felt it. I don't know
what
if
do
anyone
accidentally.
How do you do that?
I went back. So we had a very nice day yesterday, which involved going to the theater. I saw a magnificent play. A matinee of a play called Appropriate, which was sensational on Broadway. We had a really, really nice day. And when we were sitting down to dinner, I said to Stace, "I have a terrible headache. Like, just out of nowhere, I have a terrible headache." And I started thinking why I might have a terrible headache, because I'm not one who is prone to that generally. And I went over all the things I'd eaten. And I did not make a conscious decision that I was going to eat no carbs, but I ate no carbs yesterday. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, and I think that's the reason why. And I have emerged under the impression now that if you don't have carbs, you get cranky and a little bit achy.
That's a very small sample size to draw such a big conclusion.
And yet I've done it. that's just the kind of scientific research I'm prone to do.
We have thousands of years of data that dispute this.
No, I don't think so. I think people, if you cut out carbs, everyone says you get cranky and headachy.
Well, was David Pollack having a lot of, he didn't eat carbs, right? He was carbless.
Yeah, no, but well, your body acclimates to that, but at the very beginning of it,
right,
it is very complicated. Like, let me ask you a question. Are you addicted to caffeine? I'm addicted to caffeine.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, yeah.
I cannot start my day without something caffeinated.
Even on the weekends when you're not working?
100%. Huh. I will always have coffee, every now and again tea, but generally coffee.
No matter when you wake up, no matter how much you sleep.
That's right.
Huh.
And if I don't have it, I would say, I don't know, some number of hours into my day, I start getting headache. I get a headache. Your body becomes addicted. You are addicted to so many things in life that you don't even know. Most of the things you're addicted to are generally harmless. It is harmless to be addicted to carbs, unless you're trying to lose weight, et cetera, et cetera. It is harmless to be addicted to caffeine. If you're Brandon, you have a whole other level of issues. Brandon, who thinks that a diet consists of a vat of wonton soup and a roll of Lifesavers. But now we're dealing in Brandon, so that's a whole other issue.
But we should table that.
I think that Bubba is cranky because he's cut out carbs.
I'll be honest with you. I think you're redirecting, because it's not obvious to me you had caffeine this morning, because you've been
especially my Twitter issue.
Cranky.
Oh, I am freaking
Cam,
aggravated.
Wait until you hear this.
Uh-oh.
All right, well, let me tell my Harbaugh story, okay, and then we'll get eventually to why I'm having such a bad day. But I'm telling you, I'm having a bad day, and I can point the finger of blame. I know exactly who to blame. But anyway, someone I know dies, and I go to the funeral, and Jim is at the funeral, and I've told the story a million times. Bubba just ruined it. I've told the story a million times. You basically sold it short. You act like I've been milking this. I've got the insight into the off-season hiring story of the entire year. Everyone is texting me, calling me, etc., giving me all this credit. And Bubba is downplayed. Producer of this show.
I didn't give away the story.
You have 100%. You totally downplayed it significantly.
He just thought you were asking, oh, are you aware of the Harbaugh story, which obviously we are because you've told it before. He just used a impolite tone when he said that.
I didn't know what you were asking, because you were saying, like, are you aware of me? I was very confused by the way you framed. Of course I'm aware of the Harbaugh funeral story. You've said it on the air 3,000 times.
Yeah. You said that you've said it 400 times.
Now
you
it's
said
more.
It mockingly. You said it in a nasty way. Which leads me to believe that one of us has given up carbs.
Yeah, I understand. That's what your theory
Bubba
is.
I don't think Bubba has given up carbs.
It appears that he has not given up carbs.
I enjoy carbs.
Can we hear the story again?
Anyway.
Who died?
For the 401st time, tell us the story.
The very basics of the story is that a very, very prominent man died.
Sad.
Who had been a huge benefactor at University of Michigan. And his daughter and my wife grew up together and have been best friends forever. And so I've known the daughter forever. And I knew Ira as well. The man who died was named Ira Harris. And we went to the funeral when he died. And Jim was there because of the connection to Michigan, et cetera. And after the service, we were at the reception, you know, the area where you go and you get drinks and food and whatever. And we're just standing. Jim and I just sort of were off to the side chatting. And without the context of it being him leaving Michigan, that was not what we were talking about. Without the context of it being his interest in coaching in the NFL, that's not what we were talking about. The context was exclusively about how great young quarterbacks are in the NFL right now. I was saying, my God, you know, he played the position. He played the position for the Bears when I covered them. So I've known Jim since the early 90s. And I said, just look at these guys, Mahomes and Allen and whatever. And I forget. And I didn't say the name Justin Herbert. And he, like, jumps me. And he's like, I'm telling you, Greeny, Herbert is the one. Like, watch Herbert this and that. And he just went on and on and on and on about how great he thinks Justin Herbert is. And so that always stuck in my head. So when all this thing came up, when the Chargers fired their coach, I said that day, I said it on McAfee, I said it here, they're going to hire Jim Harbaugh, guaranteed. Like, you could just, that was so easy to see coming. So whatever. So that's what I said. So, of course, everyone is proud of me except for Bubba. Bubba thinks that I've obviously thinks I've talked about it.
You've
too
over
much.
Milk this.
I didn't say I wasn't proud of you. I just said I was aware of the situation.
I don't know. I think we're all cranky today. And the reason
I feel great.
I'm having a great time.
I've been thrown off of social media against my will, and I'm not happy.
Well, that's not good.
No, we got issues. And I'm telling you, it is harming my ability to do my job. So here's what happened. I got a new phone a couple of days ago. So any of us, Bubba, you may have, do you guys have company phones?
I don't use one, no.
Are your phones owned by ESPN? Mine is.
I have a personal phone and a company phone.
Okay, so I only have one
phone.
You
do two?
Yeah.
Why do you have two phones?
I like to keep
it's
my...
It's so annoying. Like one to, of...
What? What's so
one
annoying?
One of his phones is an iPhone and the other is not.
Oh!
And he has like two different numbers. It's so confusing.
Yeah, well, obviously I have
He's
two
like,
different
why
numbers.
Didn't you text me on that phone? I'm like, I didn't know which number was which.
I don't think I've said that.
That is a very annoying thing to do. If there's anyone
Especially
in the world
Bubba.
Who doesn't need two phones, it's Bubba.
I borderline need three phones.
What are the conversations? How do you choose between which phone you're going to use for each individual conversation?
No, my main phone is with all my friends, and then the iPhone is the work phone, which has my email, and that's the phone that's basically what it's for.
Are you not friends with anyone at work?
Well, if people, basically the phone I text Greeny on and Hembo, if people want to text me on the iPhone, they can text me on that because people can't handle texting a droid because so they text me on the iPhone.
It's green.
Yeah. I know. I've heard about it for 20 years.
The second you get on an airplane, you can't do it. It ruins group chats. Yeah, my brother-in-law has one of those. He lives to ruin the group chat. The family chat is ruined by it. We give him a hard time about it all the time.
Yeah, they're not allowed.
So we have the Greeny Radio Show group chat. That's on obviously on the iPhone, my work phone, because you can text on whatever phone you want. I don't care.
Well, whatever. Anyway, ESPN made us all get new phones. So it switched over from AT&T to Verizon. I don't know. Whatever. So they send me a phone, is the long and short of it, which is fine. And they say, oh, transferring it from one phone to the other is going to be really easy. Now, bear in mind, I'm me. So I'm sure I did something wrong. I'm not blaming Steve Jobs for this or anybody else. I clearly did something wrong. But none of my passwords transferred. So I got to sit there typing in the password of everything. Starbucks, Uber, all of the things in life that you use every single day. You don't know the password. Do you know the password to your Starbucks app?
I do, because I'm, 33 years old.
Okay. What does that mean? You know what the password is? What does your being 33 years old have to do with you knowing the password?
From my experience, elderly people don't remember things as well as younger people.
It's not a question of remembering. I didn't know what my password was 5 minutes after I put it in. Do you have the same password for everything?
No, I have a variety of combinations.
And you remember for each one which one you did? This one is Uber, and this one is Starbucks, and this one is Instagram, and this one is whatever?
Yeah.
Even things that you never have to type in the password for?
I do.
Okay, shut up and get out of this conversation then. Bubba, do you?
I mean, I tend to go with a handful of the same passwords, so I tend to remember what they are, and we'll try the same type of one. So I tend to, I'm closer to Hembo and will remember what they are.
Isn't this what they tell you not to do? Don't they tell you
not to use the
same password
for
everything?
I'm not using the exact same
so
one.
So if someone like gets your password for Instagram, then the next thing you know, they can access your bank account.
Oh, says the guy who's about to lose a million Twitter followers.
Well, yeah, I'm using different variations, different combinations. I'm fine. My passwords are fine. Don't worry. I'm logging in left and right, so don't worry. We're fine here.
I can't
log in.
Hembo
and I are fine.
So somehow, I've gotten into everything except Twitter, or now X. I'm sure I did something, but I know the password because I have them written down. So I went and found what it was, and I've entered it correctly. And yet, every time I try and get in, it sends me a message saying, this is suspicious login activity. Try again later. And it's now been 3 days, and it isn't later enough. So I don't know when it is they're expecting me to get back in. But this morning, I'm at work, and we have breaking news, and Fink is sending me like a link to a tweet, and I can't open it. So I'm sitting there and I got conversation going on around me and I'm like, someone tell me in my ear what's happening because I can't look at what's on Twitter.
Oh, so you can't even read something.
I can't.
Like it's a website.
I can't. It won't let me. It won't let me.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, I'm aggravated as all hell.
By the way, Cam, this morning, Greeny had me text a VP at ESPN at 7 o'clock to figure out how we could get a hold of Twitter.
That's exactly right. Where the hell is he?
Did he respond?
Where's Foss? Foss, I need to get in here. I mean, I can't get on social media. This is part of my job. This is what I do for a living. You know what it actually says to me? If you'd like to create a new account,
oh my God,
go ahead and do that.
Why not?
I have 1.3 million Twitter followers. I'm going to create a new account?
I think it's 1.2.
Okay.
Holy smoke. I'm going to smash someone in the face today with a brick. I'm so aggravated. I want carbs now. Brandon, go get me wonton soup and a roll of Lifesavers. I haven't even gotten to the Jim Harbaugh stuff yet, but I will. We will explain why he might actually wind up having the greatest resume of all time. That's on the way and a whole lot more. But whatever you do, don't tweet me because I won't see it. I'll be right back on ESPN Radio. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
Greeny, the podcast. Earlier on Greeny.
Jim and I just sort of got to talk about how much great young quarterback talent there is in the NFL. Jim went on and on and on about Herbert. That's the guy he loves. He thinks Herbert is phenomenal. That's always stuck in my mind. And it's there. The job is open, and he may be going to the NFL. So there's no way for me not to put those two things together.
This is Greeny.
All right, so Harbaugh's going out west, as we told you we would. Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. So there are a lot of pieces to this. Here's the first of them. I asked Orlovsky today on the TV show. There is a level of quarterback play in the NFL right now. There are four guys who are on the top. Well, let me rephrase that. There's one guy who's on the top, and then there are three guys. It's sort of like someone is the heavyweight champ, and then there are three contenders who are vying to be on his level. And the one on top, of course, is Patrick Mahomes, and the next three, in my opinion, in whatever order you want to put them, are Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, and Josh Allen. We've had this conversation ad nauseum of late. Allen had his real shot this past week, didn't get it done. It is what it is. Burrow has beaten Mahomes in his building in a playoff game and gone to a Super Bowl. And now Lamar Jackson has his shot this weekend, where he's going to be a two-time MVP and he has a chance to beat Mahomes, go to the Super Bowl, and maybe win one. That would clearly put him at the top of that mountain as far as contenders to the throne. And I asked Orlovsky, is Herbert the kind of good that he now will be in that class? And without any hesitation, Dan said yes. Herbert is that good. His talent is unmistakable. His arm talent is elite. His physical talent, his ability to run or make plays with his legs, as has become the fancy or popular way of describing that stuff, it's elite. I think he thinks it well. I mean, I don't have any way of knowing it because he's been horribly coached. He had an absolutely terrible head coach. Brandon Staley was, in my opinion, the worst head coach in the NFL. He had Kellen Moore there this year. That's the one thing that gives me some pause. He had an accomplished and, I think, highly regarded offensive coordinator, and they still did not do any high-level winning. But for what it's worth, Harbaugh comes in with an unbesmirched record of elevating quarterbacks. I will once again remind everyone, he had Andrew Luck at Stanford. He got to San Francisco. Alex Smith at that time was a bust. Go back and look what Alex Smith's legacy would have been if he had retired before Jim Harbaugh got to San Francisco. He'd be one of the guys we talk about as having been a massive bust at number one overall. Harbaugh turned his career around. And then when Alex Smith was playing great, he got hurt. In came a total unknown, Colin Kaepernick, who had been a second-round pick out of Nevada. Harbaugh turned him into a star. Stayed with Kaepernick, and they were a play away from winning a Super Bowl. Went to college, and here's J.J. McCarthy, who is about to become the first Michigan quarterback to go in round one since Jim Harbaugh. So his track record of developing quarterbacks is as good as anyone's. He's about to do that for he's about to mold the lump of clay that is Justin Herbert. It's got a chance to be special.
Yeah, I'll fill in a couple more points for you. When Alex Smith and Jim Harbaugh paired up, at that point in Alex Smith's career, his record was 19-31, and he had more interceptions than touchdown passes. He went 19-5-1 with a 30-10 ratio with Harbaugh as his coach. One other thing which I had totally forgotten is that he was also the Raiders' quarterback coach in 2002 and 2003. In the first of those seasons, Rich Gannon won the MVP of the NFL.
Yep.
So, like, we're talking more than 20 years of data as it relates to Justin Herbert. This is a kid through four seasons that has a QBR of 64.7. So if you were to neutralize everything, like literally everything else, what that basically means is that he should win about 65% of his games. That's what that means. He's 30-32. That is how held back Justin Herbert has been. He's got the highest QBR in the history of a metric that dates to 2006 of any quarterback with a losing record. Jim Harbaugh is going to remedy that from day one.
So Harbaugh will take care of that. Will they win a championship? I think an argument could be made that if Harbaugh wins a Super Bowl, he is going to have to be on the very short list of most accomplished football coaches of all time. Now, winning the national championship at both the college and pro level isn't a prerequisite to being in that conversation. But let's give you the list. You probably know it by heart. There are three coaches who have won the national championship on the college level and won the Super Bowl as head coaches. And they are Jimmy Johnson, Barry Switzer, and Pete Carroll. Let's dismiss Switzer immediately. Switzer was a magnificent college coach who walked into the most turnkey situation in NFL history, won a Super Bowl there. He gets as little credit for it. I'm not trying to diminish the man. He gets as little credit for that as a coach possibly can. He does not belong in this conversation. Jimmy Johnson definitively does. Jimmy Johnson was an elite college coach and an elite head coach. NFL head coach. Jimmy Johnson was a great coach at Oklahoma State. Jimmy Johnson was a dynastic kind of coach at Miami. He came to the Cowboys and turned that program around completely. And because of whatever it is that happened with Jerry Jones, he didn't last long there. He was only there for four seasons. They won two Super Bowls. He built a program that then won another. Now, he did go to Miami again. Or he did coach again in the NFL in Miami and did not have major success there, which is the one thing that could separate Jim from him. Jim had massive success on the college level, won a national championship, made three straight college football playoffs. He had an enormously successful first stop as an NFL head coach in San Francisco, didn't win a championship. If he does win one with the Chargers, then I think if you look at those four, And Carroll, of course, USC, awesome. But he's had unsuccessful head coaching stops in the NFL. The Jets for 1 year, the Patriots, where he did do some winning. And in Seattle, of course, he won a Super Bowl and made another. I think Jim definitely vaults right up into the discussion with those guys as most accomplished football coaches ever. The others, I guess, would have to be Saban, Belichick, Lombardi. I mean, just all the names that you automatically think of. They don't have to have coached at both levels in order to qualify.
No, but he's on that short list if he can find a way to pull this off. And I think what we should definitely emphasize here is that unlike Saban and unlike Belichick and unlike some of the obvious legends, Jim Harbaugh will have done it in so many different places, will have succeeded and turned so many programs around. It was last week that his brother John said he's the best program builder in the world, in the football world. And I think that's right. I mean, aside from one bad year at Michigan in 2020, the COVID year, I mean, his reputation at all of these places, San Diego, Stanford, the Niners, Michigan, is ridiculous. I mean, every place he's gone, they've had the winningest season in the history of wherever he's gone. That's obviously not a coincidence, and it has happened almost immediately. Fast forward to the NFL. The Chargers have never won a Super Bowl. They won one AFL championship, and if he finds a way to turn that place, and every game of theirs for the last 20 years has looked exactly the same, into a winner with Patrick Mahomes in your division, you can't create a list of the greatest football coaches of all time that does not include Jim Harbaugh.
Absolutely. I'm actually looking up, I just was looking up Jimmy Johnson just very quickly off the top of your head. Just answer without thinking. How old do you think Jimmy Johnson is?
Right now? 75.
He's 80. That really jumped out at me. That's older than I thought he was. I mean, Jimmy is, I love that guy. I love watching him on TV, and I've always liked him as a person and as a coach. Anyway, he built Oklahoma State. I'm finding really interesting little notes in here. He was an assistant coach at Louisiana Tech in 1965. That's where he began his career. His quarterback, the starting quarterback there, was Phil Robertson, who created the show Duck Dynasty. Who knew?
Not Terry Bradshaw, though.
No. Well, I mean, he probably would have been there with Bradshaw. I'm looking at the years here. Anyway, probably not. He had left by then. Anyway, the point of the matter is this. His first head coaching job was Oklahoma State. He had enormous success there. His tenure is noteworthy for his successful rebuilding of an inconsistent program. They were 8-4 in his final year, and then he went to the University of Miami. We all know about all the success that he had there after he replaced Howard Schnellenberger. Schnellenberger took the U from nothing to something. Jimmy Johnson took it from something to something unforgettable, won the national championship, went to Dallas, and completely revolutionized that. I consider Jimmy Johnson, and he's in the Hall of Fame, I consider Jimmy Johnson to be one of the great coaches ever. I think that's a great comp for Jim Harbaugh.
That's a good comp. You asked us the question. I'm going to ask you the question. Do you see tier one, not potential, do you see a tier one future for Justin Herbert?
Yes.
You do?
I do.
You think he's that kind of good?
I do, and I think that most of this has to do with coaching. I think that the circumstances, I think there are a lot of players who had tier one talent who never got a chance to show it to you because they didn't have tier one coaching. Look, these things have to come together. The expression perfect storm. These things have to all come together right. Like, you don't get to be the greatest quarterback of all time, which is what Patrick Mahomes' destiny is to be, if you don't get a bunch of fortunate strokes come your way along the way. And if Patrick Mahomes had been drafted number two overall in that draft by the Chicago Bears, there is zero chance we would be talking about him today and saying, is he going to eclipse Tom Brady as the greatest quarterback of all time? That's just not what would have happened. These things, they require, like, I was having this conversation. This is going to sound totally off the subject, but I think it is relevant. We were having a conversation about the TV show Friends recently, and I said, that's an example of what happens when you get everything right. Friends didn't work because it had great writing, because the casting was perfect, because the timing was perfect, because the acting was perfect, because the direction was perfect. It happened because all of those things happened. No one of those things could have created a success like this. It's one of the most successful franchises in the history of entertainment. That doesn't happen because one person did their job really well. It happens because they got everything right. And that is true of every great sports dynasty, every great sports team, everything you've ever seen. Again, I'm going to digress, but that's why the Jerry Krause thing makes me so mad when I saw what happened with Thelma, because the idea that he didn't deserve credit, however much you want to assign to him, for the practically unprecedented success that that group of teams had, it enrages me, infuriates me. But anyway, all of that aside, Patrick Mahomes is first and foremost the one who deserves the credit for himself becoming one of the all-time greats, maybe the greatest that we've ever seen. But he definitely isn't the only one. A lot of other things had to line up correctly. So Herbert, I think, if he's that talented and that coachable and that smart and all the things that everyone tells me he is, now I believe it's, and it's not old enough to have been ruined by this yet. If he had had 10 years of this, he would never have gotten there, but he's still, what is he, 25 years old?
Yeah, he'll play next year at 26.
26 years old. He's more than young enough to still have it rebuilt. Yes, I think that we may very, let's put it this way. Would you be even remotely surprised if next year at this time, when we talk about the best quarterbacks in the league, his name has to be mentioned immediately?
I would not be remotely surprised, but that is another question that I have here is I don't know if we should just assume like an instant year one transformation for this team. I'm not sure. It could happen. I mean, the Niners had 8 consecutive non-winning seasons and immediately were in the NFC Championship game. Michigan went from 5 wins to 10 wins immediately. We've seen it happen. But this is still a hard row to hoe, and it's been 9 years since Jim Harbaugh was last in the NFL. So I do wonder, should we necessarily assume that he's going to put this thing together this fast, especially playing the Chiefs twice a year?
Well, here's what everyone tells me. I'm less concerned about the Chiefs of it all than I am about the salary cap of it all. I don't have the details in front of me, but what I keep hearing and what Kimberly Martin was saying repeatedly on our show today on Get Up was that the salary cap is a major issue. They've got an aging roster where a lot of guys are making a lot of money, and there's probably going to be a transfusion necessary. It's going to take them a year to sort of get that out, and out with the old and in with the new. And if that's the case, then they don't win the Super Bowl next year, but they'll be better than they were this year regardless.
So you'd bet right this second that they'll be in the playoffs next year if that
yes.
prop existed?
Yes.
You think they'll be that good that fast?
Does that prop not exist? Can you not make bets like that?
You can make bets like that, but we don't have that in our book right now, but you can probably find that at some books.
Okay.
But
I would.
Without the draft or free agency having happened yet. They do have the 5th pick in the draft. You're doing the draft, so you've probably already studied the player that they're going to take 5th.
Well, let me go. I have the mock I've been working off of right here. Now, this would have come out before Harbaugh got this job, but the mock I'm looking at has them taking Malik Nabers, the wide receiver from LSU, who is an excellent player. There are 3 huge receivers in this draft. Marvin Harrison, who everybody knows, Malik Nabers, and Rome Odunze. Those are the 3 monster receivers in this draft, and then a little step down is Keon Coleman from Florida State. This has them taking Nabers. Now that they've got, let me see where my mock has Brock Bowers, the tight end from Georgia, going 10 to the Jets. That's the mock I'm looking at. Mel's mock the other day has the Jets taking Olu Fashanu, the offensive tackle from Penn State. I think Harbaugh would love the tight end.
Me too.
Bowers looks like your classic, you know, big physical pass-catching tight end. I think he has a chance to be a great player, and he is exactly what Harbaugh would love. I would circle that as a spot that might make a lot of sense for them to take him at 5.
I think it's a great match. I did some research this morning on what the Niners looked like in those 4 years, and they played heavy, like 2 backs, 2 tight ends, a lot. You might recall that some of Vernon Davis's very best seasons at that position were there.
He made Vernon Davis a star.
He was unbelievable.
Remember, Mike Singletary threw Vernon Davis off the sideline. Bubba, if we still have the clips of Singletary talking about Vernon Davis, I mean, Singletary.
I want winners.
That's the one, and it's a long clip. And Harbaugh turned Vernon Davis into a star, saved his career.
He's an All-Pro.
Saved his career.
Yeah, that's the Brock Bowers link, I think, is a very smart one to make based upon the way that Jim liked playing in San Francisco. He also loves to run the ball.
Yep.
They had the best margin of rushing yards in the whole league. They outrushed their opponent by 3,000 yards over those 4 years. So I definitely think Herbert's going to really sling it, but they're going to run the football too.
Here's some of that Singletary rant just because it's fun to listen to.
I would rather play with 10 people and just get penalized all the way until we got to do something else. rather than play with 11 when I know that right now that person is not sold out to be a part of this team. I cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it. I want winners. I want people that want to win.
That was Mike Singletary talking about a player that 2 years later, Jim Harbaugh turned into an all-pro.
That player caught 4 touchdowns in 2 playoff games in the 2011 postseason.
Yeah. So, I mean, Harbaugh is as good as it gets, and they're going to be really good. Embo trivia, go.
Group trivia today, friends. I am looking at the list of coaches that won the most games in the NFL during Jim Harbaugh's 49ers tenure. Again, that was 11 through 14. Harbaugh won 44 regular season games over that span. Who are the only 3 coaches that won more?
3 coaches who won more during that span is a great question. Answer next, ESPN Radio. Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Greeny, the podcast.
Presented by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. We're live above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17 Trivia.
Wow, okay, and how are your trivia skills?
This is Sneaky Himbo Trivia.
Regular sneaky or extra sneaky?
Himbo, go.
I am looking at the list of the coaches that won the most games in the NFL from 2011 through 2014, those were the 4 seasons in which Jim Harbaugh was in San Francisco. He won 44 games. Who are the only 3 coaches to win more during that time?
So it's group trivia, so we're doing this together. Guys, I'm going to throw Brandon's names in the mix just so we say them out loud because there's one that we really didn't consider. With the 3 of us were going over this during the break. He said Belichick. Who was the 3rd one?
Harbaugh.
He said Harbaugh is the one that we hadn't said. I forget who
Sean was Payton was
his
third.
His 3rd. So the names we have written down here are Belichick, McCarthy, Payton, Carroll, and should we throw Harbaugh into the conversation?
They won a Super Bowl in that time. The Ravens did.
The Ravens, yeah. They beat Harbaugh brothers Super Bowl. But did they win that many games?
I mean, they went to the championship game in 2011 before they won the Super Bowl, and
right.
Then they went.
That was the Lee Evans game,
right? And the field goal miss, and then I know they played the Patriots again because we just did this question in the 2014 playoffs, and I assume they were decent in 2013. So I think they're definitely on the table as well.
Okay, so let's go through them in the order in which we are most confident in them. I think we all assume, and maybe you know, be careful what you assume, but we all assume Belichick is going to be one of them, right?
It has to be, right?
I think we can lock him in.
All right. I think Mike McCarthy, one of those years would be the year the Packers were 15-1.
Yeah, and they went to the championship game in 2014 against Seattle. I just don't know in between those years. There were a couple years where
Rodgers got hurt.
Rodgers might have been hurt, and they like went to the playoffs but didn't finish very well. So,
but do the playoffs matter? Does this include playoffs?
I only counted regular season.
Yeah, this is just
this
regular season. So even those years, I don't think they fell to like 3-13. I think they were more like 7-9.
Yeah, it'd be 8-8 or something.
They still
yeah.
won some games.
Yeah.
I feel good about him, and then everyone is saying Sean Payton. Now, that would have been after their Super Bowl season.
I think Payton's probably a no. He's probably up there, but not quite there.
Pete Carroll, that would be during the time that Carroll's teams made two Super Bowls during that stretch.
Yeah, right? They were always playing Harbaugh in those playoff games.
Right. So Carroll's teams would be up there. And so Sean Payton, I don't know, guys. We got to pick a third one here. All right, we should start doing our guesses.
Lock in Belichick,
okay,
right?
Okay, so we're going to go. Our first guess is Bill Belichick.
That is correct.
Okay. How many did he win?
Yeah, 49.
49.
What number is he?
He's number one.
He's okay. Number one. So all right. Jim Harbaugh was 44.
That's right.
So there's two in between. So do we feel good about Mike McCarthy?
I do. 15-1 is pretty ridiculous.
Right. So all he needs in the other three seasons would be 29 wins, 30 wins.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's nothing, but I.
But he at least went to the playoffs a couple of those years. I feel like that's got to be it.
Yeah, that one of those would have been the year that they didn't recover the onside kick, right? That was against Seattle.
Yes.
We're going to say Mike McCarthy.
Let's go with Cowboys Mike McCarthy.
That is correct.
Okay. What was his number?
46.
All right. And so is the, was he second or
third? He is tied for second.
Okay, so there's one other person. So
either Harbaugh or Carroll.
We think it's – you're saying John Harbaugh or Pete Carroll?
Yes.
Not Sean Payton?
I don't think so.
John Harbaugh or Pete Carroll? John Harbaugh or Pete Carroll? This is a very tough.
I think it's going to be like a couple win difference.
What do you think, Bubs?
I think Carroll. That was my thought.
Yeah.
But I mean, Cam has a much better memory on this than I do. So.
I think Carroll. I think Harbaugh, like those Ravens teams were probably really good, but probably were more like 10-6, 11-5. And
yeah.
I think the Carroll teams might have been a little better, but I'm not
too.
Positive.
We're going to go with that. With Pete Carroll.
The correct answer is John Fox.
Oh, my God. I said John Fox. I said him to you before, Cam, and you dismissed me.
I did not dismiss you. I said the Broncos are on the table because that's while Peyton Manning was
there.
But when
did Gary Kubiak become their coach?
2015?
Not until 15 when they actually won the Super Bowl.
Oh, man.
John Fox.
So that was the year after.
Mm-hmm.
So Fox, I said Fox, and then I thought we decided that Kubiak, which was the Tebow year.
2011, and then Peyton got there. Peyton Manning, and they won all those games.
So aggravating! Yeah. Oh my God, I'm so mad now.
Yeah, they went 8 wins, 13 wins, 13 wins, 12 wins.
We should have considered that strongly.
That sucks.
Come on.
All right, Cam. What is the? None of us had said him. What is our standings now?
Bubba's 8-6. You and I are 6-9. Brandon's 2-9. Jack's 0-6. Dominique is 0-1.
All right, Greeny. Reminding you, NBA action tonight. Heat Celtics presented by Indeed. Coverage begins 7 Eastern on most of these ESPN radio stations. Next.
I'm sorry, what? What?
I'm sorry, what? What?
I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry, what?
What the hell happened here yesterday? I mean, I'm trying to have a day. I'm trying to have a life. I had some stuff I had to do yesterday, so I was not here for the radio show. And you, Hembo, and Evan Cohen, from what I can tell, ruined it. I mean, I have spent 20-something years building a legacy in this industry, and in 2 short hours, you seem to have destroyed it. I don't know why it is that you decided on the day that I'm not here that the appropriate conversation for you to have would be about hydrogen peroxide.
You might even be able to tell because my voice is super nasally these days. I've been dealing with something minorly viral, you might say, and I have a cut in my mouth to which hydrogen peroxide is naturally the remedy. I gargle it, I swash it around, and I spit it out naturally, and that's what I do when I have a cut in my mouth. So Jack,
do you have that often, just out of curiosity?
I would say once-ish a month, maybe a little bit.
Once a month you have random cuts in your mouth?
Like ulcers, like sores. I live a very...
Like a kankasaur?
Yeah, kind of. I lead a very stressful life.
Okay. There's 27 seconds of that left on my screen. I can't listen to it. What on earth could have motivated you to describe the hydrogen peroxide gargling that you seem to be doing during your time of the month?
Here's the thing.
I don't understand why that...
His time of the month?
Well, I mean, once a month you said you get these sores. What the hell are you doing?
So here's the thing. Like, when you're here, when you're in the host chair,
yeah,
you give me the amount of leeway, say, but like but lane to lane in the Holland Tunnel, 15 or 20 feet.
Yeah.
When Evan is in that chair, what I have is the Strait of Gibraltar. All right, I have between Europe and Africa, and I take advantage of that to use it as an opportunity to sort of air my grievances. And in this case, it helped because I had messages from two different listeners that DM'd me saying you should consider changing your toothpaste because that has helped them with canker sores in their mouth.
So you get canker sores once a month?
Something like
that. Why am I asking that? Why am I following up on this?
I mean, that seems like way too often.
Way too often. Don't change your toothbrush. Change your lifestyle.
I don't even remember the last time I've had one.
Toothpaste is the issue, not the brush.
Not. You're not making the point you think you're making. To have canker sores, what? Something that should happen to you in your whole life, like twice. Like literally like two times.
Do you think I'm eating foods that are too acidic?
I think this is something we should discuss at 12:05, meaning not while we're on the air, and B, I don't care. I don't care why it is that you have this. You were swishing around hydrogen peroxide at your desk in the newsroom
in front of Jack.
And everyone took umbrage with the fact that I spat it into the waste basket.
Yes, as well they should.
Why?
That's grotesque. First of all, hydrogen. What are you doing? You're actually sitting at your desk, gargling with hydrogen peroxide, and then spitting it out into a public wastebasket?
Yes,
that's grotesque. That's disgusting.
Mid conversation with
Jack. What about
it
is gross?
What do you mean mid conversation?
Having a conversation with Jack, gargled hydrogen peroxide, spit it out into the wastebasket, and then continued to have the conversation.
Yeah, Jack
seconds.
found it uncouth. Which is what I took umbrage with because I didn't think that it was outside the Overton window.
And a couple of things.
Stop saying Overton window.
What is the Overton window? I don't even know what you're talking about.
You said the Strait of Gibraltar earlier.
It means it's not between the 20-yard lines.
That's what that means?
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard that. It's a football expression?
No, but that was the best way I could relate it to our audience.
I don't think you have any idea how to relate to our audience. Let's make that as clear as it can possibly be made. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcasts.